Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, April 15th, tax deadline day. I'm so glad it's over. As soon as this show is over, I'm going out to mail my returns. But tonight, first, we're going to have a conversation with makeup artist Tim Bucharin. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hey, girl. How you doing?
I'm great. And we also have my sister on the line. Are you here, Denise?
I'm here. Hey, Tim.
Hey, honey. How are you?
Good.
And I just want to remind you, I'm sorry.
Y'all haven't done your taxes yet?
No, she hasn't.
I just finished my refund back. I just finished mine today about 7:30 maybe.
Oh.
And when this show is over, I'm going out to mail them before midnight. So I'm good.
Okay, good.
I don't owe anything, so that's fine. I just want to remind the listeners that they could call in by dialing 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399 if you have any comments or questions for Tim. Also, you can email your questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com. Now, I know my sister has some information she wants to share.
Just a few quick announcements, if I can read my own handwriting. Be sure to check out Ket Cosmetics this weekend at www.ketcosmetics.com. They are releasing some new products this weekend. Their new Ket Jet Airbrush Compressor. They have some Hydro Blush Tones, six new blush tones, and Hydro Contour Colors, a set of four shades of contour colors. And so I'm really wondering how the Hydro Blush Tones will compare with the Makeup Forever High Def Blushes. So maybe we can ask Rocky in a couple of weeks when he comes on to the show. But also check out the site for Rocky's new Cosetti vessels, which, you know, I guess they would be like the little Makeup Forever cylinders that you can put your, makeup brushes in or powders or whatever you want to put in them. But check the site out for those as well. I just received mine in the mail today, and I love them already. OCC Cosmetics is offering an airbrush class in New York City called Airbrush Makeup 101. It's presented by Orlando Santiago on Saturday, May 1st from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And for more details, you can check out their site at www.occmakeup.com. And one other makeup class going on in Nashville, Tennessee area, makeup artist J.K. Hunter is doing a class called Let's Make Up 2. And it's Saturday, April 17th, that's this weekend, at Hotel Preston in Nashville, Tennessee, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can go to www.letsmakeup102.eventbrite.com for more details. And IMATS LA is coming up soon, so yay for that, June 26th and 27th in Pasadena, California. And for more ticket information, you can go to www.makeupmag.com. And that's it.
Wow, that was a lot.
Okay.
A lot of classes going on.
Yes, a lot. And I had more information actually for some other things, but I just decided to wait until next week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Tim, thanks again for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Let's just jump right into it. I know that you were once a dancer.
Yes, I was.
You danced for Janet Jackson, and I'm not sure if there was any other singers,
actually,
but I know for sure Janet.
No, actually, no, I never danced with Janet.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I did not dance with Janet. I've done some, I did one of the AMA with Michael.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like a few other shows, a few industrials and things like that. And I think one of the best things that a lot of people our age would remember probably was the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
Back during the O.J. Simpson trial, it was there's five guys who dressed up as Judge Ito, so we were the Dancing Itos from that thing. I didn't know if I should be sharing that one, but, you know.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter who I dance for. Nobody ever remembers that except for that. So.
I don't know why I thought for some reason you danced with Janet. But
well, I mean, it was like I kind of did in a sense where when I started doing her makeup
mm-hmm.
on tour, when we're in Melbourne, Australia, one of the girls got sick, so on one of the little part, on a freestyling part, I kind of, there's like, hey,
oh, you kind of filled in.
Why don't you just go ahead and fill in on that? I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, that was one of the weirdest experiences ever, but I'm like, okay, cool.
So dancer turned makeup artist.
Yes, ma'am.
What inspired you to become a makeup artist?
Honestly?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, for me, wanting to become a makeup artist wasn't even in my radar. I've always wanted to be, work in front of the camera. You know, I did my whole acting bit, the dancing bit. But as a dancer, you know, like an athlete, your body goes through so much. And I was having an issue with my back. And there was a paper that comes to my house like every month. It's a catalog for school, you know. And during that time, I couldn't dance. So I was like, you know what, let me flip through this thing. So I flipped through the book. I'm like, ooh, photography, cool. You know, what am I? You know, so I looked at it, and I was like, photography, wait a minute. That means I have to buy a camera. I have to buy film. I have to, you know, pay for the lab fee. So that cost
right.
a lot of money. So I'm like, okay, we're going to pass on that. So I keep on flipping, and I saw makeup. I thought it was like, you know what, it could be something kind of fun to do. And it's out of sheer boredom from being injured that I
mm-hmm.
went to school for makeup. And when I did that, I didn't really do anything with it for about a year and a half. And, you know, it's one of those things. I went back to Thailand. I went
mm-hmm.
and did some commercials in Thailand. And on one of the shoots, the makeup girl got sick. So they're like, okay, well, guess who can't shoot today? I'm like, hell, we're not. We're shooting today. Well, we don't have a makeup artist. So I kind of jumped in and did the makeup
mm-hmm.
for the shoot and being in the commercial. And kind of like that kind of sparked the love of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back to the States, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, you know what? Hey, wait a minute. I'm SAG and AFTRA, so I went and signed up as an extra on TV shows
mm-hmm.
and movies and things like that. And when I walk in, the first thing I go, okay, hi, I'm here. I checked in. Where's the makeup trailer? You know, and I had my little 3x5. You know, we all do 4x6 now, but remember 3x5 photos?
Right, right.
Yeah, I had
uh-huh.
this little, you know, the photo album, just like, you know, snapshots of stuff I've done.
Right.
I walk up to the trailer and go, hi, I'm Tim. They're like, and? You know, well, I'm a makeup artist, and you guys are going to need me one day. I don't care. You know, it's like, I'll come in and work for free. I'll come and clean your brushes just to be around the whole
right.
The whole business. You know,
right.
So basically I did that for about 4 shows, and then I realized I really hate being herded around like a cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit, and about 4 months later, one of the first girl that I met on the first movie that I went in to work as an extra, she called me up and said, hey, listen, I'm doing a movie, really, 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 really low budget, and I need an assistant, and the pay is $50 a day, and we're working 6 days a week, and no overtime. And I went, okay, let's do it. You know, but it's like, you know, but once you become, once you start working in the business, start doing things, you kind of fall in love with the whole artistry, and you know, just transforming somebody into a character, or you know, just turning somebody into a better self in a sense.
Right.
You
right.
know, so I think you kind of start loving the transformation and what you could do with foundation and blush and all the stuff. So.
Right. Now, Tim, let me ask you this. Well, that's not really a question, but just going back to you talking about wanting to be in front of the camera, I can totally believe that because I think we've known each other since, like, what, 2004, 2005, something
uh-huh.
like that. And yep. if you know Tim, you know he's a performer.
Oh, yeah, I've acted a fool many of times, you know. But that's my personality. That's I like
that's the personality.
You know, like in the work environment, that also lightened everybody up. So there's nobody
right.
in the trailer is going to be so tense that you know
well,
it's like oh my god.
Well, let me ask you this: when we first met,
uh-huh.
out of all the makeup artists that were on that job, who was I closest to?
That was me. Of course.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's all about me. It's a Tim show, honey. Get into it.
And you know, I really wish CJ was listening because remember, I don't remember what year it was, but remember Stevie's
oh,
and Encino. First
uh-huh.
of all, you made her up in Sephora's.
Uh-huh.
And then we went to Stevie's.
Oh, God.
And you made her get up on stage.
Well, they were asking for birthday. Come on, y'all. You guys are visiting from, you know,
right.
from over there. So,
right.
come on. You got to have some fun. So, you know.
Exactly.
Got her birthday. But, hey, she kind of hesitated to get on the stage a little bit. But once she got on there, she dropped it like it's hot, didn't she?
Right. She sure did.
You know.
And we talk about that all the time.
Oh, and I
all
love the fact that you guys posted that photo up on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook, yeah, I posted it.
Yeah, that totally brought back memories. It was a great memory, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Tim. How long have you been doing makeup now?
Oh, gosh. Started in, like really, really started was back in 1995.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So 1995, so about 15, 16 years now.
Okay. So has your career been all that you've hoped it to be, or is there a lot more that you wish to accomplish?
My career at this point, I mean, you know what? I can't complain about my career at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've had such wonderful, wonderful, wonderful breaks, wonderful luck, you know, to work with amazing, amazing artists and amazing, amazing talent, you know,
mm-hmm.
and obviously, you know, it's like it's one of those situations where you're kind of like, well, I did this, now what's next? You know,
mm-hmm.
hey, I wouldn't mind holding a gold statue in my hand, you know.
Right.
And I wouldn't mind writing a book.
Right.
I wouldn't mind, you know, coming out with my cosmetic lines one day. But it's not, you know, but at this point in my career, I'm really happy with where I'm at right now, you know.
Oh, that's great.
And we just, you just got to take what comes your way. You can't really, you know. You can't really go, oh my gosh, I wish I could do this right now. You can't, you know.
Right.
Like, you know, but you could hope and you could strive for it. But you know, if it's meant for you, it will come to you.
Absolutely.
What are some of the changes that you've noticed over the past 15, 16 years in the beauty industry since you first started?
I think a lot of changes right now has been that. There's a couple of changes. One change that I've noticed is that a lot of makeup artists and people who work behind the scene are slowly making themselves seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like with your radio blog thing going on. And you know, you got so many more makeup artists making appearances on doing makeovers on TV shows and things like that. where when I first started, there was only a select few that would do that.
Right.
You know, it would be the Sam Fine, the Kevin Kwan, the, you know, the
right.
whomever who's the A-list of the business. And, you know, now the makeup artist is more actually becoming more of an on-camera business than behind the business. You know,
gotcha.
The other thing that I've learned that I've noticed, y'all young folks are gonna hate me, is that the lack of the
go ahead and say it because we're probably
the truth.
You know what? The lack of education.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The lack of education, where pretty much you go on set and you suddenly think that you're the hot shit.
Right.
You know, and it's one of those things, it's like, you know what, it's about paying your dues, and it's about learning the craft, you know.
Absolutely.
Learning the craft,
absolutely.
You know, if you're doing a basic cleaning up underneath the eye, you don't use an oil-based makeup remover because that's not going to work, you know. And it's just learning your product because it's like a lot of people came from the counters.
Right.
You know, and not saying the counters are bad. I've done the counters. But at
mm-hmm.
the same time, you learn what has been given to you on the one that's taught by the Chanel. You go to the Chanel school, and everybody thinks that's a school. You know, they train you to use their product.
Their product,
when
right.
When you actually go out into the real world, into the working world, as a makeup artist, you're using everything under the sun. So, you know, it's like you basically need to learn and need to have knowledge of the product that's out there. It's like what counteract with what would work and what doesn't work. You know what I mean? It's like it's one of those things. You know, it's just one of those things that's been, you know, and I think people need to assist more.
Right.
I really think people need to assist a lot more because it's like, you know, it's like some people get lucky and meet a celebrity. They like your personality, and they take you onto your job,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, you know, and I'm speaking of film side right now because that's where my career has taken me to at this point. And, you know, you get somebody who just finished working at MAC Cosmetics and go, you know, oh, this so-and-so celebrity likes me, so she's taking me to be a personal on this movie. And then you haven't learned how to
write
a script. You haven't learned how to do, you know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
It's a learning process and experience process.
That's
where I get, you know, but I'm one of those, I have no issue. I've worked with so many, you know, being a personal myself and worked with so many other personal who just got into business, I have no problem at all telling them what to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? I have no issue with going, okay, well, you know what? You need to break down a script and this, da, 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 and we just go from there.
Right.
You know, but I think it's like the education part is missing.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you had problems with people being receptive to you? Well, not being receptive to you, telling them what to do?
I haven't had that issue, honestly, because it never came from – the way I approach things, it never came from an ugly place.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? It always came from a place of – you know, it's like – usually it's like, you know, hey, I'm here for you. If you need any help, please feel free to come over.
Right.
You
right.
know, if I'm doing a project and if – you know, a lot of people think that because they're personal that they're actually designing the look. It's like actually,
right?
No, not really. It's
right.
It's a department head job. Me as a department head, I have to run and oversee the whole project.
Right.
You know, so it's one of those things. It's like if I see something done not properly, then I'm going to go and, you know, and correct the situation.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. Well, if I think if a person is really truly willing to learn, then they will be open to receiving anything that, you know, any information that anyone would have for them.
Oh, big time, big time. And that's the whole thing is, like, you know, I have a lot of people who actually go, you know what, actually thank you for helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
And not go, oh, my gosh, what a freaking diva. And like, you're such a...
Right, right.
Whatever. It just, you know, it's one of those things. Like, you know what, if my name's going to be on it, it needs to look right. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you
absolutely.
Find somebody personal, absolutely.
You know, and you know,
exactly.
And like I said, you know, like being a personal myself, going onto a project, what I actually have to go to the department head and go, hey, listen, you know, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What are you? What's your plan on doing that? you know, mm-hmm. so that way that we all could be coincide.
Exactly.
Work, works together. You know,
yep.
so that's one of the situations. You know, you have to, the reality of it, and it comes with experience, and it comes from learning, where, you know, like I said, a lot of people are not learning.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly.
That's my little podium, a little my pet peeve.
Well, you talked about your career going in the direction of film. Tell us about some of the films that you worked on within the last few years.
I was the department head on Dreamgirls.
Mm-hmm.
I was also the department head on Secret Life of Bees. I actually was brought in as a personal for Queen Latifah, and something happened to the department head, so since they knew that I did Dreamgirls, they kind of like, why don't you just take it over? I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
cool, that's fine. And, right now I'm on a TV show called One Tree Hill, and I was
mm-hmm.
working on, prior to that, did October Road and did Night Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's where my career has gone to. And, you know, I was working, I helped out on Pirates of the Caribbean and Spider-Man 2 and, you know, a bunch of stuff.
So when we met, Tim, I think you were probably, like, more so in that phase of being a personal, kind of transitioning into more film, right?
During that time, it was just, you know what, I just, I was doing a lot of personal at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, because I remember you were working with.
Went up to Wilmington to do
yeah.
Idle World. I was actually
yeah.
down in Miami with Janet Jackson working
right.
with her, and, you know, Janet had a break, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and do a film.
Because you did some work with Pink as well, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like I start the, my career started in the film, and it went into the fashion, and then it went to the music side. It's like, you know, it's like my
mm-hmm.
career, I've toured.
Right.
You know, I've toured with the Divas, and you know, my first tour ever that I've done was Janet Jackson on the Velvet
mm-hmm.
Rope Tour. And right after that, I went on tour with Cher,
mm-hmm.
you know. Worked on worked on the Cher tour, and right after that, I went to do, you know, Janet. I found out Janet was doing Nutty Professor. I was like, well, I kind of want to do that, so I went and did Janet for Nutty Professor, and right after Nutty Professor, I flew to London to work with Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after Tina, Janet went back out again on the road. So my life has been on the road for so long, as a person.
Yeah.
You know, so, but when we met, it was kind of like one of those things. Let me just try it. Yeah, I miss doing film. Let's just go. You know,
right.
just to spend 4 weeks in another state just hanging out, you know. And
right.
Idlewild was one of those projects that you get to be creative.
Right.
You know, you're not just making somebody look like they're just walk out of bed.
Right, right.
On the performance numbers, you get really to glam everything up and really, you know.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, tell us what's the difference or is there a difference in doing makeup for film versus television?
Well, the one thing you need to learn, for me, this is great for people to know, is like learn what medium the project is being shot in. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know when you're shooting, there's in a film stock, there's 16 millimeter, 35 millimeter, super 35 millimeter, and the other one, I forgot what that one is, the 72, was it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that was it. I mean, you know, it's like the larger the number, the sharper the film is. So you need to learn how to differentiate in that. And also, right now with the whole HD situation, you know, and the whole thing is all about it's all about blending. The higher the numbers in the film stock, the more you have to blend it. You know,
yeah.
The 16 millimeter, I could play around. I mean, I could totally like not blend out as much as I would on the thing, but don't make it a habit. I think you should do your best
right.
work, regardless of what project, what medium it is, you know.
Right.
And you know, I mean, and the difference in that is like, as far as television is concerned, there's a lot more light, especially
yes.
if you're shooting in digital, in video. If you're going, you know, if you're doing a client who's going to be appearing on Jay Leno or Letterman, you know that's going to be on videos. So if they're
mm-hmm.
going to be on video, it's actually you need to add more color and more life into the person. You got to sculpt them a little bit more because all that light is going to be basically going to wash everything out.
Right.
You know, versus in film, the film is most of the time it's lit for natural. You know, so you got to, yeah, but you could, I mean, you could totally play around with it, you know. It's, am I making any sense at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know.
You are.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like learn the medium, learn the lighting. That's
right.
What I think people need to learn.
So important.
Yeah, it's very important. It's like, you know, when I was on tour with Janet, when she does the press, her manager would, as soon as she gets on, you know, get on a set, she's like, okay, Tim, go look at the light. You know, what do you think of the light? How does she look? And that's an asset that people should that people have, you know, that you would have, that you actually get a leg up on all your competition if you know your lighting. You know, what is the best lighting to make your client look the best? You know, how high the camera should be. You know, when you're working as personal with people like that, you actually have a little more control over that than anything else.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You know, your client has a little round face. You don't want to shoot them from below. You want to make sure you talk to the camera so they could go a little bit above, so they get that, you know, that nice elongated face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am just talking, aren't I?
Yeah, and you thought you didn't have enough to talk about.
I was like this. God, they want to talk to me for an hour.
Right. I saw that on Facebook. I said, don't worry, we're going to pull it out of you.
Uh-huh.
You're doing just fine.
All right, now. I haven't done this in Stream Girls. Come on.
What's up?
I was just going to say, if anybody has any questions, please feel free to call in.
Yeah.
Call in.
And speaking of Dream Girls, tell us about some of the makeup looks that you designed for that.
Well, you know, I mean, the Dream Girls is one of those things. It takes place in pretty much two different decades, 60s and 70s. And you know, when we did the research for that, we did everything. I called Essence, I called Ebony, I called Playboy, getting the archives of the old magazines, and even, like, you know, went to Fashion Fair for the old, what's that called? The old advertisement photos and things like that. Of
mm-hmm.
that. I mean, and the looks was created. What we did was that we took the 60s and we updated it into 2004, 2005, whatever year that was.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been that long? My gosh.
Right.
No, you know, so we kind of updated a little bit to make it, to give the style, the look of the period, but to today's eye, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense, buddy. You know,
yeah.
So we kind of did that where the, you know, when you first saw the first look of the girls coming in, the girls were very natural, very clean. And it's one of those things, you know, it's like we, you know, Beyonce was, had an amazing makeup artist by the name of Francesca Talode. And, you know, it's like her and I worked together really well. And we kind of, you know, make sure that we stay in sync every single step of
right.
the way to make
right.
sure that all the girls look like they, one person could have done the whole job. You know,
right.
All three of the girls. You know, and then when, so, you know, we designed a lot of that, I mean, that kind of thing. We use a lot of blues, a lot of, you know, it just, I don't know, girl. Oh, my gosh.
It was beautiful. I'll say that. It was very beautiful.
Thank you. I mean, you know, it was, you know, we got really, really, really lucky with the talent because we got
mm-hmm.
really amazingly beautiful group of girls to work
right.
with. You know, and... You know, it's just one of those situations. We did so many makeup tests on so many different looks, and you know, we just I think we kind of went all out. We kind of put a foot in it, didn't we?
You sure did. And I love the great thing about a movie like Dreamgirls. You know, first of all, you know, it's a musical, so you get great singing. But then, for a creative person, makeup artist, or hairstylist, you get great beauty looks and hairstyles, so you know you're kind of drawn in to it all,
and
you know, and it's something that you could just watch over and over and over again.
I mean, it's still, you know, it was one of my, it was my first department hitting job, mm-hmm. you know, which was something that I totally went in and go, you know, I want this.
Right.
You know, and believe it or not, I did get a little flack from the, I'm gonna say it, y'all going to hate me. I did get a little flack from the black makeup artist community.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense where, who the hell is this little Asian boy think that he could do black makeup?
Right.
You know, I mean, it got back to me. It's like some of the makeup artists in town that was trying to get the job was like really like, oh, my gosh, who the hell is this? This should have gone to a black makeup artist. I understand the point, but at the same time, for me, I found it to be really offensive because makeup artist is makeup artist. If you call
yourself
a makeup artist, you should be able to do black, white, green, yellow, purple.
Yep, should be.
And
it's
not a barrier thing. And I think, you know, and I think to me that was just a shame.
Well, you know what, Tim? And you know, if you were a makeup artist that couldn't do black makeup, and you still got the job as the department head, then maybe that would be something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I can very well see why you were offended. You know, because you can do all, you know, all makeup. So it really shouldn't matter.
If people look at my resume, you know, from before that, it was Janet Jackson, Tina Turner, Gabrielle Union, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was like, I'm like, okay, now what? You know, it's like,
right.
Queen Latifah. I've worked with Naomi Campbell. You know, so it's, you know, I mean, so for me that was it. But I think it's like people need to just start loving it. You know, it's like really embracing each other as an artist rather as
right.
your black artist, your white artist, your da 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 da. You know what I mean?
Right, right,
so
right.
I think that was the thing. I think to me that was the thing. But you know, I was so blessed to be able to get that project. You know,
right.
I was blessed to be able to hire amazing artists to work on the project, you know, so
mm-hmm. you brought up a good point, and I'm going to let that topic go in one second. I just want to just kind of put it out there, regardless, white, black, Asian, whatever you are, as a makeup artist, you should be able to do anyone's makeup, regardless of what they are, what their skin tone is. And if you can't, then I think you need a little more training. Because as a makeup artist, if I hire a white makeup artist, she should be able to do my makeup. She should be able to do an Asian woman's makeup. She should be able to do, you know, a black woman's makeup that's like, you know, six shades darker than me. But if she can't, then she needs more training. A black makeup artist should be able to do anybody's makeup. So I think if the makeup artists are out there and they're not able to do that, then they need more training. And there are tons of makeup artists out there that are like that, and that's what I've been seeing lately.
I mean, it's true. It's like, you know, people forget, you know, they go, well, you know, white girl, you could go pick up any product from any companies and you should be able to do it. It's like, no, you can't. You know, I mean,
right.
every race you go into, there's so many different shades, so many different tones.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
like yesterday I worked with Tiffany Amber Thiessen. You know, she's white as you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I was using Iman product on her. You know, I was using Iman Clay Medium Dark as her contour,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a bronzer. So it's like it's one of those situations where you kind of like, you have to learn how to use the product and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And you have to be able to do everybody.
But, you know,
know?
I also know white makeup artists, not to pick on white makeup artists, but I know white makeup artists who – the only color they have in their kits for black women is MAC Studio Fix C7.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only product.
I you know what? I hate to say it. I know a few of those. I know a few,
yeah.
a few of those people.
Yeah.
And it's
almost insulting. It's like, you know, I've spent my whole career making sure my kit was stocked with everything for anybody.
But at the same time, I blame the schools also.
Well, these
Absolutely.
Are people who didn't go to schools.
I blame the schools because I'm going to take this way back to 94.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to school and they had orientation, 93, whatever it was. Remember, I remember I went to school once, and I didn't finish the whole course. So I went back again. And I remember it was taught by, you know, union makeup artists. Okay, I'm not saying any name, because y'all might be listening. I remember I went into class, went to orientation. I raised my hand up. I said, you know what, this is my second go-around at this course, and I want to find out from you guys that last time I was here, we didn't really cover ethnic skin tones that much. Are we going to be covering it this time? And I'm going to tell you exactly what they said, quote, unquote, because I remember this quote because, to me, I thought it was such an asinine comment. It was like they told me that 95% of the time you will be working on Caucasian women.
Mm-hmm.
That was the comment from the teachers that was teaching the course. You know, they said, we'll touch upon it, but that's about it. You know, and that's, to me, that's the irresponsibility of the school and the teachers, the training, you know. And,
right.
And that's, to me, I was like, what? And then I'm like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. So, you know, that's just, mm-hmm. you got your curriculum. And then it's like, and look at my career. You know, it's like my career has been nothing but African-American women.
Exactly.
You know, and you know what? And the fact, one simple fact that, a lot of people can't do African-American women or get the skin tone right. That makes me that much more busy.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You know? I said, if you don't want to learn, I'm cool with it because, you know, hey, that's more money in my pocket.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that particular subject, you can go on and on about it. There's so many other scenarios that stem from that same issue, because I know for myself, when I first started out, I only did Caucasian people.
Mm-hmm.
But my kit was prepared for anybody. When I went to makeup school, most of the products that they stocked to give to us for our kits were for Caucasian men and women. But they said that, and the teacher came out and said, you know, they don't really stock a lot of colors for people of color because we never have a lot of people of color attending the classes. So my particular class was the first class that they ever had that many African-American students in the class. It was like half and half.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Which was, what, two of y'all?
No. It was like, I think we may have had like maybe 12 to 15 students, and it was probably, you know, like anywhere from six to seven students were black. And normally, if they had a black student in the class, it might be one, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the teacher said, you know, this school never really stocks, you know, darker products. So for me, because, you know, the products that came with the kit that I purchased for the class, I just had to go out and start buying products for black women, for women of color. You know, for Asian women, for black women, you know, for all other ethnicities, because, you know, all we got in our kits were, you know, colors for Caucasian women. But that was fine. That was fine with me because, you know, I wanted to experience going out, you know, shopping for, you know, the different products. So that was fine with me. But most of my job, had I not went out to go shopping, most of my jobs starting out were with Caucasian clients. And I always had loads of Caucasian clients. It wasn't until I started doing like some local television or independent films when I started working with African American clients.
Oh yeah.
You know, but this, I mean, you know, this particular topic, you just have different scenarios where I know, and you know, I hate to hear people say that white artists can't do black makeup because I know
so many that
several,
can.
You know, and not just white, but Asian and anything else other than black can do black makeup. And then I've seen some black artists who can't do black makeup.
No, exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, working in you know, when you work in the film business, when you have a black actor walk in, they look at you, you know, it's like if you're not black, they look at you like, can you do me? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a, you know, and it's such a shame. It's like, and it's one of those things where, to me, where just because an actor should be comfortable to walk into a makeup trailer and be able to sit down and relax and,
mm-hmm.
and study the lines and craft without being worried about if that person can do my makeup or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you really, you know, you really need to educate yourself on that, on
mm-hmm.
how to get your stuff done, on every, learn about every skin tone, every shade. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate, too, that a lot of companies doesn't make cosmetics for majority of the skin tone. That's where, again, schools come in handy, because you should learn how to mix your own colors.
Right.
You know what I mean? You need to learn how to mix your own color and how to make sure that you could use, you know, four different colors to make sure that person matches, make sure that face
right.
You know, so basically go back to education.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I was just sitting here thinking. I went back to what you said earlier, is education. That's just the bottom line.
It is.
The
it
bottom
is.
Line. And I'm, you know, and be, you know, and I'm just thinking, because, you know, I saw a lot of tweets today from Makeup Artist Magazine, you know, about their upcoming show in Vancouver, and then IMAX coming up in Pasadena in June. And, you know, a lot of makeup shows popping up and everything, but I just have to say that's one of the things that I like about the Makeup Artist Trade Show. You know, you can get a lot of knowledge and education during those shows. You know, a lot of times people don't have the money to actually go to different classes where you spend $300, $400, $500, but you can go to the trade shows and really pick up on a lot of things. So I just had to plug that show really quick. But,
I totally agree with that.
Hmm?
No, I totally agree with that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's like you go to the makeup shows and you spend $35, $40 for a ticket, and you know what? There's classes all day.
Yes.
It's advanced training. Go to it. Go learn how to airbrush it. Use the airbrush machine. Go, you know what I mean? Go listen to the speakers and watch what they do and go from there, you know, and one of the best places that I'm going to have to say that was the best learning experience for me
mm-hmm.
was when I used to work at the counters. Work at the cosmetic counters was the best training ever, because you work on everyday women. You're not
right.
You're not getting Naomi Campbell to walk in there. You're not getting Tyra Banks to walking in there. You're not getting, you know, Charlize Theron, whoever it may be. You're getting average everyday woman. But when they get out of that chair, they want to feel like a model, like an actress, like a superstar. You know what I mean? And that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, when you're working at the counters, you learn how to, in a sense, you learn to cheat. You learn how
mm-hmm.
you learn how to speed yourself up. You know, you learn how to make them do the makeup faster, because you guys work at the counters before, right?
Yes.
For years.
You know, they're like literally, it's like, okay, you get 20 minutes to do one
right.
face. And by the time you beat that face, you better sell a lot of product.
Right.
Right.
You know, and to me, that was my best training ground. You know, you got Susie Doolittle coming in and go, you know, with a picture of, you know, of Angelina Jolie, and I said, I want to look like this. You know, and that's when you learn a little bit about the psychology around it and kind of
right.
You know, she just want to hear that she's beautiful. She just want to feel that she's beautiful, and that's what it is. And you know what? That's the best. To me, that's the best training ground. It's like, from that, I could beat a face in 10 minutes. You know, foundation,
mm-hmm.
cream, contour, lashes, everything. I could get it all done in 10 minutes if I had to. I don't like to, but if I had to.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. Well, look, then we have Maxie on the line. Hey, Maxie.
Hi.
Hi,
how
Maxie.
Are you?
How's everybody? I've been listening, and I've been dying to say something. But
do you know Tim Bucharin?
Pardon me, Tim whom? What is his last name?
Bucharin.
No, but I do now because I've been listening. So I've sort of now I know he's I should be knowing him because I've now heard, you know, a short list of his celebrity clients, and I'm totally impressed. Now,
well, Maxie, Tim, Maxie.
Hello.
Hi. Now, in regards to the subject, we've talked about this a little bit before,
yeah.
But, you know, just the mere mention, we all know that schools, you know, we have to know that schools really don't teach us, prepare us for the actual world to actually go out there and do makeup. It does take practice no matter what, whether you're at a counter or whether you're doing your grandma and your sisters every day or whatever you're doing, but only practice can bring you to that place where you can actually work is constant practice. But
well, Maxie, before you go on, let me ask you, did you hear Tim say, this is how the conversation started, did you hear Tim say, mention
yes.
the comments that he was getting? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
And what I've been through recently, I talked about it, is that with the Luster campaign, where I was let go just because I was white, literally, from a whole campaign. Now, and this is coming from someone who also, like me and Tim's careers are sort of like parallel. I also have worked mostly with women of color for the first, like, 8 years of my career before I ever saw a white face. But anyhow, you know, but the mere mention to even, like, you know, entertain the idea that a black makeup artist can't do white makeup or a white makeup artist can't do black makeup, because I've seen it all the way around, like everybody said, a black makeup artist doing horrible black makeup, or where it's even sometimes considered good, where they just put a mask of a color, a good color, over whatever color the woman may be, and, you know, it's just like it ends up being, and then they paint on a good face over it, but actual grasping, actual skin tones of people, that's what, you know, skin is what really determines whether you're a great makeup artist in the end, because everyone can blend, everyone can throw on some eyeliner and lashes and blah, 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 but you have to be able to, you know, get the skin right. But the mere mention, though, of the possibility of it having to do something with race is what perpetuates it to the place where, in the end, Luster drops me from a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with race, what one can do. And it's really like their experience and their, you know, and they're, you know, granted, if they live in an area where there are no white people to practice on, and there's, like, they've never encountered a white person they could ever do makeup on, they couldn't get a job at a counter, then, you know, they would have to somehow expand and learn still beyond that some way, because otherwise you're not ready if you can't do every skin tone, no matter what color you happen to be.
Exactly,
right.
like Maxie, like for you, you know, I know I watch Blush, so I kind of, you know, I you know, it's like as far as the music videos, it's like we both music videos, and you know, it's like some videos you walk in and you got a slew, like literally every single race under the sun, sitting in your chair. So as a makeup artist, I think, you know, everybody needs to be prepared for it. Everybody needs to be prepared for it, And you're right as far in the sense that the school, you know, you just like haircutting school, you learn the basic trait, but it's just like, I think as far as, you know, you going to, I think everybody needs to practice. Everybody needs to, you know, it's like when I was working, you know, when I was going to school, if I need a model, guess what? I'll pay for a model to come with me. You know,
mm-hmm.
to go to school and you know, if we're working on a woman of color that day, if I can't get any of my friends to come, I will hire somebody, because luckily I was a dancer at that point, and I had access to a lot of a lot of people, broke dancers. So you know, they actually would come with me. So it's one of those things. It's like, if you want to learn, you will find a way.
Right.
Exactly.
Anybody can do everybody or not do everybody.
Exactly.
Like, you know, either you are good, either you can do makeup or you cannot.
Oh, no, definitely.
And, you know, either you've gotten to the proper place and time where you can actually go out there and you've gotten enough practice, or you haven't.
Exactly.
And because... it's, you know, I am just so upset that, you know, 20 years into it, oh, sorry, 15 years into it. I hate saying the actual year, but, you know, a long time into it, for someone, a company still, to be like, you know,
specifically
looking for a black artist for a black job, or a white artist looking for white art, white people looking for white artists for white jobs is crazy.
Oh, Jimmy, that's totally crazy. I mean, that's totally. I mean, I'm really sorry that happened to you. You know, what I mean, to me, that's like the biggest slap in the face.
Well, I know so many black makeup artists, black stylists, black hairdressers that do not. I mean, it really drives black hairdressers nuts. But they do not. They have a harder time getting white hair jobs.
Oh, I agree.
Than a white hairdresser would.
I totally agree.
And
I remember talking to a publicist. Because I'm known as a quote-unquote, you know, black makeup artist, who most of my clients are black women. And I remember I was talking to a publicist of one of my clients, and I had to go, you know what, you guys, my show is about to be done. So I'll be back in town, and just remember, I can do white makeup too. You know?
Right.
They used to... They pigeonholed Billy B as well back in the day. They used to just have Billy B on black jobs.
Exactly. Big time. You know, it's like, and you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I mean, but that's the reality of the world. But so, but, you know, as far as like the new and upcoming people, I said, please be prepared. Just be prepared. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
Don't
be prepared.
Just be prepared.
But at least you're sort of. You're like reverse pigeonholed, though. Like, you're white.
No, he's Asian. Correct.
No, oh, you're Asian. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you're Asian.
Uh-huh.
So it is sort of still, okay, I get it. It's like, there's just, I mean, people are really stupid out there.
Yeah, they really are. They
you
really
have to
are.
Be like, by the way, I know that I'm black. Although that I'm black, I want you to know I can do white makeup, like for you to have to say, or for you to, you know, it's like that's the actual statement. Like, even though that I'm Asian, I can do white stuff.
Like,
you know,
strange. I have done Charlize Theron, and I've done it, you know, Natasha Henstridge, and so many different, you know, so many people. So it's like, you know, it's like, don't forget, I can do that too, you know. But at this point in our career, we shouldn't have to sell ourselves that hard.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
It's just a shame that we, you know, it's still in that business. It's like people, but at the same time, as far as your stuff with the campaign, it's, you know, one thing that we have to remember is that people who are hiring us are not artists. People who hire us are suits. They look at the numbers, they look at this, and people who hiring us have a major preconceived notion of who can do what. And to me, you know, like, it's a shame. It's such a shame, you know, that's how the business is.
Yeah, and we, you know, artists can help, you know, stop the perpetuation of these beliefs in their clients. But just proving themselves and being prepared, because there is the instance where a white artist will show up and do a horrible job on a black woman, and she will tell 1,000 people about that incident.
Oh, big time.
And, you know what I mean? Like, it will get around, and it just turns into this horrible, you know, nightmarish rumor that when a black woman does sit in a chair, a lot of times they will be scared when there's a white artist that comes in. But usually it's from lack of experience. It's usually newer newer talent dealing with newer artists,
exactly.
Right? Or whatever it is. Because once the most talent, once they're sort of seasoned, they know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can feel confident when they sit in a chair at a certain level of a production, unless they're off doing an independent film in the desert for no money. Then, you know, then they might still be scared. But normally, they know at a certain point in their career that they'll be painted properly. But
exactly. Exactly. A lot of times it is the newer actors who gets a little, okay, what, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like going, can you? You know?
Yeah. I mean, the reason I was so offended by the Luster Company,
uh-huh.
which I consider a racist company. and I know that this radio station does not take any of my beliefs or opinions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that stuff that they play at the end of TV shows. but being the racist company that Luster is, I just wanted to mention that. What really offended me about it was that I have sort of built myself up, and like before Blush, I'm sorry you saw Blush, and I'm sorry that that's my introduction to you.
Well, I've heard about you a long time ago.
Yeah, before Blush, I was working and doing really well.
Okay.
So I foolishly signed up for Blush, like that was some crazy. Okay, but anyhow, so I had, you know, I was sort of, you know, working always in the black world with people of color, and I have sort of known for it. You know, there's articles online about it, about me being a white queen in a black world, and like all this stuff. Or a white person, but they call it that in the article. But anyhow, so I just sort of was shocked when this occurred. Like it was sort of like a reminder, because I have, you know, I have sort of crossed barriers or whatever, you know, and there are black artists that have also done the same thing, that exclusively work in the white world. You know, there's black hairdressers that, you know, exclusively work in the white world that have crossed those barriers. But I'm just saying it's harder to be accepted foolishly in the minds of other people, the people who are hiring us,
mm-hmm.
that our race doesn't matter to what we do. And we have to, it'll take probably years, but we as artists have to prepare for all colors, like you said before, so we can slowly squash this, like, this thing.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and it's like the people who are hiring us is listening to the people who's above them and going, well, my experience with this and that, you
right.
know, which is total shameful, you know?
Absolutely. Well, we have 1 minute left.
Uh-oh.
And we have to ask you.
So we want to ask you, Tim, what does beauty mean to you as we kind of fade out here?
Me? Oh, no, just kidding. You know, what beauty for me is, it comes from the inside out. It's like, you know what, when you feel beautiful, you are beautiful. Confidence is beautiful. You know, makeup color doesn't always make you beautiful, but who you are as a person inside and out. I think that's where it really shines.
Wonderful. I agree.
Nice to meet you, Tim.
Same here, darling.
Thank you so much, Maxie, for calling in. I'm sorry I didn't see you a little sooner. Thank you, Tim, for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We kind of created a whole nother discussion, but it's things that people should hear, especially new artists coming along, should really hear those kind of things so they can just be aware.
The new title of the show should be Race and Beauty with Janice and Denise.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we can deal with some of those issues every once in a while. But thank you guys for coming on and joining us, and thank you for everyone who listened. Thank you, Makeup Artist Magazine. I believe you're listening. So thank you for the support. For those who enjoy the show, go out and mark it as a favorite. Leave us a comment. can send questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. And we'll be back next week with makeup artist Victoria Stiles. So good night for now.
Well,
I'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.